Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Now, I know that you have read this text. You have read this, you know, many times. I don't know that I've ever just taken these two verses as a text to preach from, but, you know, I think that we all need to be beyond the point of saying, well, I'd really like to hear some really good sermon that would pep me up, help me. When in reality, we need to hear something that stirs us and challenges us and changes us. Amen. And that's my desire. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I read this quote, and it's hard. I have a hard time getting it out of my mind. You cannot kill time without injuring eternity. You cannot kill time without injuring eternity. Now, I think that we have to, as Christians, we have to realize that as Christians, that we have responsibilities. And all the wonderful blessings are ours because we're born again and we know the Lord. But along with those blessings comes responsibility. That's just the way it is. Every blessing that comes your way includes responsibility. If it didn't, then it really wouldn't be a true blessing. When the new baby came, Rebecca and Greg, blessing, 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 responsibility, responsibility, responsibility. Now the blessing outweighs and it's worth it. It's always worth it, but it requires diligence. It requires investment of your time and love and giving of yourself, and that is what the church is called to. We are called to that, and really in two primary ways. One is found in, I've got this scripture down or not, I don't think I do, in Corinthians. It talks about, I was going to read the whole two verses there, but talks about that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's a big word. But really all it means is that we have been given a responsibility to bring those that are out of fellowship with God and to go and try to win them and share the gospel with them and do whatever, by whatever means we can, bring them into relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that He's the one who saves, but He is also given to you and I as the church this dispensation of the gospel, this ministry of reconciliation to help bring people to God. We have a responsibility before the Lord to share the gospel with Him, to be the vehicle that God uses to try to encourage them and even disciple them and bring them into right relationship with God. We have a part in that. It's not that God can do anything of His own power and ability, but He's just delegated to you and I this responsibility to bring. We don't save them, but we are actively involved in this because God has chosen by His will to use us in the ministry of reconciliation, bringing people to salvation, bringing them into the kingdom of God. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about a different ministry. It's the ministry of restoration, restoring people back to God. It's different than the ministry of reconciliation. Brother Ken, can I get some water? I am as dry as can be, and I have struggled today with my voice a little bit, probably because I talked 18 hours on the radio this week. I wore it out. But I want to talk to you for a few minutes tonight about this ministry of restoration. Our responsibility, and according to the Apostle Paul here in Galatians chapter 1, this is a message to believers. This is a message to the brethren and the sistren. Amen. The brethren and the sistren, all of us in the church have been called to be involved in this ministry of restoring people into the kingdom, back to God, back to the place where they have been before. This is a duty. This is a calling. This is a responsibility that we have. Some of you remember the old hymn of Fanny Crosby's, "Rescue the Perishing." We always think of it as a hymn talking about those that are lost, and it is. But let me read you the phrase here. It says, "Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave." That's the first two stanzas. But the third stanza, it says, "Weep over the erring one, lift up the fallen." And so in that first verse of that hymn, you see not only the ministry of reconciliation, but also the ministry of restoration. Lift up that person that's the erring one. Lift him up. Help him, the one that is in need, the one that has fallen. Amen. Thank you, brother. You're saving me. That's good. That's right out of that water fountain back there. I think. I can tell. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus that is mighty to save. The ministry of reconciliation, bringing sinners to Jesus, and the ministry of going to those who have been saved and have known the Lord and have walked with the Lord, but they have been caught in a trap. They have been caught in their own vices, their own sins sometimes. And that's literally what this text is describing. I don't know why we would ever be surprised by this. We live in a world that's so charged with demonic activity, so much temptation. It's like everywhere you look, there's this effort of the enemy to grab your attention, to steal you away from everything that is good and righteous and holy. Everywhere you look, there is this tempting and this alluring of the world and of sin. Why would we ever think that this would not be an important ministry? It is an important ministry. It should never be so that whenever we hear of someone that has fallen into sin, that we say, "Well, I knew that was going to happen. I knew they were getting ready to have that problem. I knew that was going to happen to them. I saw it all along. I knew it. I knew that they were walking too close to the world, or I just knew that that was going to happen to them." There should never be that kind of an attitude when it relates to our brothers and sisters who have fallen into a trap of the enemy. We should be heartbroken. It should grieve us. We ought to feel the burden of it, the responsibility of it, and understand that we have a God-called responsibility to try to restore them. Amen. To bring them back to the Lord. Now, this has been, I don't keep up with it anymore, but I know that this has been hunting season. For all of you Bambi lovers, I'm sorry, but I'm going to talk about this for a minute. That whenever, I've not done this in years, but years ago, I did a little bit of hunting, believe it or not, out in the woods in a deer stand. And I learned a little bit about it. I don't know a lot. Things have probably changed in the many years because people have become experts at it. But I do know that when we would go out long before that we would go to hunt. Long before that, we would go out and scout out a place to hunt. We would look for the sign that the deer were there. We would look for their feeding areas. And trees that were right on the edge of a field that had grain or corn or something where the deer would probably come to feed, and they would usually feed early in the morning or just when the sun was going down.
And that's when you had your prime opportunity to get in that stand, and you would make sure that you had the scent on you so that the deer wouldn't pick up your physical scent. And you would do all these things to set the trap for the deer who just comes innocently along to feed in the evening, not knowing that there's someone in the deer stand getting ready to do damage. It's kind of like the devil, isn't it? It's kind of like the enemy, the tempter, who sets a trap. And as I've already said, we do live in a society that's so charged with wickedness and the demonic that we don't need to be surprised when we hear about our brother or our sister or someone that has been a part of the church or the body of Christ, and we hear that they are moving in a direction, or they're caught in a trap, or they're involved in something that's going to destroy their spiritual life. We shouldn't be surprised, but we need to understand that that's what has always happened, and the enemy is always looking for a place where there is going to be an opportunity, where he can take advantage. He's always looking for a place where he can set up his target, and he can set up his snare, and he can catch the saint of God, the believer. And it doesn't matter if you've been saved a short time or years and years, people can get caught in the trap of the enemy. And they do. So we can't ignore the call of God to the ministry of restoration. But we need to be used of the Lord and be sensitive to the Lord. The apostle says, brethren, if a man is overtaken, the word there, it means if he has been seized without warning, or if he has been suddenly invaded, or if he has been taken in a snare, that the enemy has set up a trap. You know, and Satan, you know, he has had centuries and generations to study human nature. He knows what people do and how they can be easily falling prey to the tempter. And he's not only studied human nature, but he studies you and me. He knows our strengths and our weaknesses. And he knows the areas of our life where we could most easily be caught in a trap, and he's setting up the snare. They're already set up for you, and they're set up for me. The enemy would love to take you down. He would love to destroy you and destroy your life and your future and your potential in God. He would love to be able to rob you of all the wonderful blessings that God has given to you. He'd love to do that. He'd love to overtake you. And all over the years, we've had many, many times when we would learn of someone who had been caught up in some spiritual trap, and sin just kind of overtook them and overwhelmed them. There's been many times that I have just felt helpless, and I wanted to help. I didn't know what to do. I've wanted to help. I didn't even know what to say. I have attempted it. I have tried to go after people, and I have tried to talk to them and tried to encourage them and to try to restore them, but not always successful. But I do believe that there is a ministry that needs to be actively at work in the body of Christ, where we're sensitive and we're aware of people and in their need, and we're ready to help them and not knock them down further. Amen. Amen. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, if he's caught in a trap, if he has been seized by the enemy, and a lot of times we think, well, you know, they did it to themselves. They walked too close to the world, or they lived in such a way, they just put themselves in a place where they were vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. It doesn't matter how they were caught in the trap. If they're caught, they're caught. Amen. And we can point our finger and say, well, if they would only have done this or had not done that. But the fact of the matter is that there are people that are within your reach and my reach. Through the ministry of our church, through our outreaches of our church, through the ministry of our school and various opportunities and people that we're in contact with in the community, there are people that right now, they have walked close to God in the past. They have known the Lord. They have had close fellowship with the Lord. But right now, they're in limbo. Right now, they're under a heavy burden of guilt. They're living under the pressure of the fact that they have failed God, failed themselves, and sometimes failed their family and others around them, and they're in a mess. Let me tell you, the world is not going to help them. The world is not going to help them. The world is just going to say, so be it. You're going to be like the rest of us. Just fall in line with what the world is doing. Or there can be those in the body of Christ who care enough and have a burden enough that you're willing to put yourself out there. You say, yeah, but what if they don't want to hear from me? Well, you're still obligated in this ministry of restoring. Amen. We're still obligated to step out there. We're responsible to try to reach them and to help them and to restore them. If a man is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore him. Now, obviously, we can't have the attitude and say, I'm the spiritual one here. And I'm really strong, and I'm really walking in the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. And so maybe I'm the one that can do this. No, that's not what it's talking about at all. It's talking about a person who is living in the Spirit, loves the Lord, is committed and sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God, and wants to be used as a vessel for God by His Spirit. That person that wants to be used spiritually to help someone, to reach out and to minister to one and help them and to get them out of the situation that they're in, if possible. Amen. It is a duty. It is a responsibility that we have. Those that are in tune with the Spirit. This is on my mind because I have a lot of people I've been thinking about, praying about, and they're right within our reach. But oh, how much they need help from God. They're just right within our reach, but they're just caught up in a trap, caught up in the vices of sin and the things of the world, and they're held fast in these things. And they can't even help themselves. It's like quicksand. The more they move, the deeper into the mess that they find themselves. The more they try in their own strength, they're just in trouble. And they can't help themselves. And that's why that God has called you and me to this ministry of restoration. Amen. Either are spiritual. Either are spiritual. You're in tune with the Spirit. You're spiritually sensitive to see the needs of others that are spiritually in need. This is a work of the Spirit of God in the church and through the church that we are all called to. Every one of us, we have a responsibility to see. And when you see your brother in need, you can't shut up your bowels of compassion. When you see that person that's in need, you can't just close them out and say, that's their problem, that's their life, I've got enough trouble of my own. We have a ministry of restoration that the Lord has given to us by the Holy Spirit. We're to be reaching out to some people in need. Amen. It doesn't matter why they're caught in the trap. It doesn't matter why that they're wounded. You know, if a person has a self-inflicted wound, they're just as wounded. And if people I've heard people say, well, they made their bed, let them lie in it. I that kind of heartless lack of compassion, that has no place in the body of Christ. When we see people caught in the trap of sin in the world, then there needs to be the same kind of love and an attitude that we have toward them, just like they were our own child. Amen. And that's what the Scripture says, that we are to be either spiritual. Let me just give you a couple of practical things, I think. First of all, whenever you know someone that is caught in a trap like this, immediately begin to call upon the Lord and pray for them. The power of prayer. And then not only pray for them, but pray asking the Lord. Lord, give me an open door and give me divine direction so that I will have wisdom and know how to approach them in the situation that they're in. So start with prayer. Amen. And remember that you're treading in Satan's territory because he's taken ground whenever he's went in and he's taken some brother or sister into his clutches and he's trying to take ground. And so whenever you go after that person, you're invading Satan's territory. Amen. You're on Satan's hunting ground. He's not going to be too happy about it. And so move cautiously and be led of the Spirit and move through only through the doors that are opened to you by the Spirit of the Lord as God gives wisdom and direction. But whenever He does, don't neglect it. Do not neglect to step through that door and be used of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And approach that person and go to that person. When the woman that was taken in adultery was brought to Jesus, He did not ignore her sin. He did not excuse her sin. But He did say, "Neither do I condemn you." But then He said, "Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more." That was the ministry of restoration. That Jesus didn't come to condemn, to bring utter condemnation to people. He came to bring people to salvation. That's why He came, not to destroy them. Now He convicts them. He brings Holy Spirit conviction upon them, and they feel the weight of that. But that's not condemnation. That's from the enemy. That's from the devil himself. He's the condemner. He's the destroyer. He's the one that says there is no hope and there is no answer and you can never come out of this. That's the condemner. Jesus said, "I don't condemn you. I don't say there's no hope. I just say, stop your sinning. Turn to God. Stop your sinning and turn back to the Lord, and He'll receive you and He'll save you. He'll restore you back to Him." Amen. And the Bible says that we're to do this as spiritual people in the spirit of meekness. Restore. The word restore really is a word that describes two different scenarios. It's a Greek word like that I can't pronounce. That it signifies to set in joint, like a bone that has been dislocated or that needs to be set, broken that needs to be set. Now, I've never had a broken bone, but I've been around people that have, and I know that it's horribly painful. And even in the process of setting it many times, it's terrible pain. And then the healing process for a while, it's just agonizing pain for a while after. The bone is, even after that, it's been put back together. Restoring someone back to that place with God, it's not going to be easy. It's not just going to happen. It's going to be with a lot of effort and even with pain and a process of time. And only the grace of God, only the help of God can bring people back to that place that they need to be. Amen. Restore them. Another thing that the Greek word for restore, it indicates a net that needs to be mended. And so whether it's a bone or a net, it needs to be restored if it is to be, if it's going to have the life potential come back to that individual. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to destroy your life and your future and the whole potential that you have in God. That's why He set these traps for you to take you down and destroy you, because He knows that if you, by the Spirit of God, have His touch upon your life, that you're going to do some things for the glory of God. You're going to do the kingdom of Satan great damage. And many times He targets those people that they have such potential in God and to be used of the Lord. And He targets them and tries to destroy them. But even those can be restored if the body of Christ is doing their duty, fulfilling our responsibility, instead of saying, "That's awful what they've done. That's terrible, the sin they're involved in. That's a horrible thing." And we can find ourselves in such a state that we're pointing our finger at them, but we know what the Scripture says, that we need to be careful in how we react to people in that situation. We're to restore them in a spirit of meekness. Amen. Gentleness. When Mandy, our middle daughter, was just a baby, we hadn't been out in Oklahoma very long, so she would maybe have been maybe 2 years old, or not quite 2 years old. She had a terrible place come up on her hand, a big swelled up place of infection, and we didn't know what it was. And so we hadn't been in Oklahoma very long. We didn't have a family doctor, so someone had said, "Go to this particular place and this doctor will take you in." He was an old codger doctor. And Now, this was my baby, and she trusted me. I was her daddy. She trusted me to take care of her. And I took her in there like a lamb to the slaughter. And that old doctor, he didn't give her any shot, any deadening, anything to deaden that. He just come in here and he said, hold her down a minute. I didn't know what he was going to do. I thought he was going to, you know, give her some sort of an injection to deaden the pain. He took a scalpel and he just, and then started squeezing it to get all the infection out. Ooh, it was horrible. It was so horrible. Now, you all know me well enough to know that I'm a mild and a meek person pretty much most of the time. That day, I lost all of my meekness. I lost it all. Because I saw my little baby look up to me like, "You betrayed me." And she was crying hysterically. She cried for hours. I was so upset. I was so angry. We never went back to that doctor. We didn't even go back for follow-up visits to that doctor. We went to a different doctor, and I made sure that he was meek. That just means gentle. He was just kind and gentle, because I wanted to make sure that this doctor was going to take care of her, and he was going to be gentle with her and not hurt her anymore. Oh, was it her birthday? It was just before her third birthday, and she cried most of the day, and it was a terrible day. Amen. Doctors need to be meek, don't they? They need to be gentle. They need to be loving. But way more important is it for doctors to have better bedside manners and kindness and gentleness. That needs to be the characteristic that we are known for in the body of Christ. Amen. Oh, we need to be known for that. That we see people in the mess that they're in, caught in the trap of sin, and we have compassion toward them because we're just like them. We were pulled out of the same trap that they were in. And we were saved, some of us, just before we got in that terrible trap. And so we restore them with meekness, considering ourselves, lest that we would also be tempted. We understand that we treat them, understanding that we're just like them, and we could easily have fallen the same trap of the enemy. We're not better. When it says, ye that are spiritual, that doesn't mean those that are strong and holy and wonderful and never have a temptation and never have a problem. That's not talking about that at all. It's talking about people that are spiritually sensitive and aware of people in their need, and you're willing to take a risk and step out and help someone in their trouble. We are called to this ministry of restoration. And I hope that while I'm going through this conclusion of this here tonight, that already that there are people in your mind. There are people that you are thinking of, and maybe even you're writing down the names of one or two or three that you know them, you have known them, you know that they have served the Lord, you know that they had a place in the body of Christ and in the kingdom of God, but right now they're not there because they have been caught in the trap of sin, caught in the trap of the enemy. And those of us in the body of Christ, we have a responsibility to love them, to restore them with meekness, gentleness, just like that they have been someone wounded and treated, you know, just in such a terrible circumstance that they have been caught in a trap and they can't help themselves. They can't seem to get out of it. And we go to them with love and compassion and meekness, recognizing that we're just like them and we could have easily have fallen in the same trap. Amen. Amen. Ye that are spiritual, restore them. Restore them. Amen. Help them. Be used of the Lord by the Spirit of God and a spirit of meekness. And the Scripture says that we're to bear their burdens. Bear one another's burdens. How do you do that? Well, you consider what they're experiencing and what they're going through, and you try to get right in there in the middle of that situation and help lift that load. You just try to get into the situation of their life and all the troubles and the burdens and the grief that they're experiencing. And you get in there and you try to lift the load. Bear you one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? What is it talking about? Fulfilling the law of Christ. John chapter 13. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. You love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Amen. Oh, what a calling. What a responsibility. Not only in the ministry of reconciliation, that's evangelism, that's outreach, that's doing everything that God calls us to reach out to the sinner and bring him into the kingdom of God, to share the gospel with them and to be a witness to them. That's the ministry of reconciliation, but the ministry of restoration. That is something that has to do with our relationship with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And you can't fall on the excuse and say, well, they must have not really been saved, because if they would have been saved, they wouldn't have gotten such a big mess. That's just not the truth. Is it? It's not the truth. Genuinely converted, saved people get caught in the trap of the enemy. And the enemy wants to take them down and destroy them. But ye that are spiritual, you that are sensitive, you that are filled with the Spirit, you that are walking to be able to be used of the Lord to touch the lives of people, then you go and you restore them. You restore them in the spirit of meekness, with love, with gentleness. You go after them, pouring out your love, your compassion toward them, your love for them. You do whatever you can within your power and by the grace of God to reach them and to help them and to heal them and deliver them from the trap of the enemy. Amen. You don't hear a lot about this in the body of Christ. The body of Christ, many times, and I've been, you know, in the church for many, many years, and I have seen people who are part of the body, part of the church, walk away, go out into sin, never come back. And I've not heard much about people going after them. I'm sure that there have been. But that's what we are called to do. Go after them. Go help them. Let the Lord use us. This is a work of the Spirit of God. This is a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Help them in their trouble. Help them in their sin. Amen. In a spirit of meekness. And you can bring restoration to their life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you thinking of someone? Or maybe several people? They need help from the Lord. They need to get back into that place of communion with God and back into the body of Christ. I'm thinking of people that I know. They're miserable. They're just miserable in their existence. And they're never going to be happy until they get back to God. Until they get back in right relationship with God. They're just miserable. In the life that they're living, they're so full of misery, they can't find any pleasure or fulfillment in anything that the world has. They're just miserable. How do we help them? Well, we love them. We love them and we go after them and we help them and we get under their burden with them and we do everything that we can by the power of God and the grace of God to lift their burden and to restore them back to that place. You know someone like that? Then let the Lord use you in this ministry of restoration. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Would you bow your heads with me? The Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would by your Holy Spirit just stir us up here tonight, Lord. Lord, forgive us because we have not been concerned. Forgive us because we've been too busy, Lord, to reach out to people in this kind of situation. Oh, Lord, forgive us because we don't have the compassion that we should have. and we have neglected this ministry. But Lord, I just pray that everyone here in this building tonight, Lord, that you will speak to us. Speak to us, Lord, through your word and by your Holy Spirit. Help us to not neglect this calling, not to neglect this responsibility, but to go, to help them, to restore them, to minister to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, the Lord can lead you. All those years ago, it was 1982, when we had just moved to Oklahoma to start the church out there. Had nothing. Had no building, had nothing. But we had a place that we were going to meet. And we'd been there maybe 2-3 weeks. And it came to my mind that I had this friend that I went to school with, high school with, and I hadn't seen him in years, and I wondered how he would respond. We'd went to high school together, and I knew that he was pretty hard, and he was out in sin, but he knew the right way to live. He was like me. He'd been raised up in church, but he just rejected it and went out into sin. Lots of years had gone by. I went to his door. It took a lot of courage that day when I went to his door. Went to his house. When I pulled up in his front yard, he was standing on the front porch. And he was holding a piece of mail in his hand. And so I got out, and of course he was surprised to see me. We hadn't seen each other in probably 10 years. He didn't seem all that friendly, really. So it was pretty hard at first. But what he was holding in his hands, his wife had divorced him. And he'd got the final notice of the divorce that day. Just when I pulled up, he got it. I went in and started talking to him. Told him what we were doing. I said, we're trying to get a church started. He was shocked again. Then he told me that just the month before, he'd got laid off from his job. And a job that he had had since he got out of high school. Good paying job. The company was shutting down. And he had lost his job the month before. And he was just working little temporary jobs. And now he'd got the notice that he was being divorced by his wife. And it had been finalized that very day. You talk about a guy that was down and out. So I talked to him. We started getting together every day that we could. We'd go somewhere and just drink coffee. I'd talk to him. And I don't know how long went by. It wasn't that long. Maybe just a few weeks on a Sunday after we just started the services. He came in, walked in the back door of the church. He was our first convert. Praise God. He was in a mess. His life was so messed up. He had so much trouble. Let me tell you, that's what we've got out here in the world. If you think we're going to evangelize and reach people and they're going to be the perfect, you have no trouble or no problems in their life, forget that. It's not going to be. That's just not the way it is. People have been messed up by sin. Their lives are all messed up. Some of them have walked away from church and walked away from the things of God, and they need you to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God. They need you. They need me in this ministry of restoration. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you let the Lord use you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, since this is a ministry, this is a function of the body of Christ. And one thing that concerns me, a lot of times it's like, sure, we have our own individual lives, but we need also have the understanding that we function as a body. We function together. Amen. It's one of the reasons why we come to church, to the house of God, because it's here that it's like we're getting our marching orders for what we are needing to do in obedience to God. Then we go out, touching the lives of people. Amen. So as we pray tonight, I want to ask you to pray about maybe someone that's already on your mind. Pray for them and then pray for yourself that the Lord will give you wisdom, that the Lord will give you an open door, and that He will anoint you and He'll give you grace and power to do what He's called us to do, to see lives brought back to Him, restored to the body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's pray. And I hope that you're praying specifically for someone or maybe some family, some individual that's in need. And if you're here in this service tonight and you need help from God, don't neglect this opportunity. Because right here in this place, the loving arms of the Lord, compassionate people who care about you and your need and your trouble that you're in right now, He'll help you. He will help you. Hallelujah.